is this is the day we do baby dedications or child dedications. A lot of churches do them on Mother's Day, and I think that's very appropriate and kind. I prefer to do them on Father's Day because I think fatherhood is very, very important. And so I would like to invite those who would like to dedicate their young ones this morning to come to the front. So parents and children, if you could come, love to have you up here. And even if you didn't, let me know ahead of time, okay? You're more than welcome to come. Now, I haven't seen you guys yet, so congratulations. Yeah. Parenting is a wonderful gift from the Lord. It is challenging, right? Anybody out there would say parenting is easy? No. Parenting is difficult. And as Todd said in Sunday school, we're never sure what our kids are going to get from us. You know, we think we plan, we do these great devotions, and the kids go, yeah, what was that? But they catch something that happened in the pickup truck along the way. Yeah, and so parenting really involves all of life. But we know that children and grandchildren are a gift from the Lord. And so let me read a couple passages for us this morning. Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, and in your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. All these little ones you see up here, all the little ones out there, they were formed in by God in the womb. It's not just a random chance. It's not just genetic material. It is an intricate weaving together by God himself. That God has made each child as he wanted them to be. And so the birth of a young one is amazing, and it's a wonderful gift from the Lord. But the challenge is just beginning. And so let me read from Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting in verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Parenting is all of life. It's everything. It teaches us. It molds us. I mean, I knew I was selfish when I got married. I did not know the depth of my selfishness till I had kids. And it just gets revealed all the time. But we learn and we grow, just as our children do. And so I want to ask a couple of questions to our parents, and then a couple of questions to the congregation. If you could respond to these with "we do," if you do agree, I would appreciate it. Parents, do you recognize that your children are a gift from God, and thank God and glorify God for your children? Do you accept the joys and responsibilities of parenting, promising to give proper love and care to your children throughout their lives? And with the help that God provides, do you commit to teach your children the fullness of God's word and demonstrate through your own example and witness what it means to love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Now, I was in Africa. We were in Africa. There's a great African proverb that says it takes a village to raise a child. Well, we don't have villages per se, but we have communities. We have our church community. We've got our family communities. It takes a community to raise a child. Grandparents are incredibly important. Great-grandparents are important. Uncles and aunts and cousins. Okay? It's this whole community together that raises a child. And so I want to ask a couple of questions to you, the church. Will you offer your ongoing love, support, prayers, and encouragement to these parents? Will you also be faithful in praying for these young ones? And as you are able, help teach and set a godly example for them so that they might one day come to trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Let me pray. Lord, we thank you for these young ones. Lord, it's the birth of a young one is such a majestic experience. Lord, the bringing forth of a new life. And so, Lord, we thank you for the safe deliveries. We thank you for the births of these little ones. But, Lord, we know that the work is just beginning. And we know that you know what their life will hold. Ephesians tells us that you know all of our lives before the foundation of the world. Lord, we know that you are their shepherd, that you will guide them. We pray, Lord, that as these children grow, first of all, they would come to know you as Lord and Savior, that they would give their lives to you, Lord, and that you, through your Holy Spirit, would transform them into greater and greater likeness of you. We pray that you would help them to respect and understand and love their parents, to seek to learn from them. We pray that as they grow, as they mature, that they would grow in their knowledge and understanding of you. Lord, and I pray that they would be powerful witnesses, examples, and proclaimers of the gospel to their friends, to their neighbors, to those they come in contact with. And I pray, Lord, that they would be a thorn in the devil's side, that they would be faithful and true. Lord, I pray for the parents, for Connor and Taylor and for Cole and Miranda, that you would give them strength to parent well, that you would, even in these early stages with lack of sleep, that you would help them to love and to give their best to their little ones. We pray that as they work together as a husband and wife, that they would support one another, care for one another, that they would understand that the hard work they put in at the beginning, Lord, pays huge dividends at the end. We pray for the grandparents, the parents, the families, that they would come around and support and help, to encourage, to be models and examples of what it means to be followers of you. Lord, we pray that they would, the community would raise a child. And we pray for our church, that we hear as we teach and mold and shape and help form the spiritual atmosphere for these children, Lord, they would come to love your people and your church. Lord, we commit these children to you. We dedicate them to you. We ask, Lord, that you would shine your grace upon them, and they would grow into powerful young men and women who love you and who love your word. And because of that, they love others. So Lord, we give these children to you. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Thank you. This morning, we're going to be, for our message, we're going to be in the book of Psalms. I would like to take time this summer to spend a summer in the Psalms. How do you like that? I rhymed. It's about the only time I'll ever do that. But we'll do a summer in the Psalms, I think. Okay. Now, I would like you to invite you to take a walk with me through those. And perhaps walk is too strong of a word. Okay. Wander might be better. Okay. To wander means to take time to look around, to see what's there, to investigate, to ponder a thing's beauty. Okay. Those of us who are type A personalities, we don't wander. Okay. Wander is like wasting time. We want to get from point A to point B as quickly as we can. To wander means to look around, to ponder, to think about, okay, to enjoy the beauty of. Okay? And that's what I hope you can do this summer. Alex, I don't think this is working again. So, you can hear me. I just can't advance the slides. Okay? So, today I want to focus on one particular psalm, and that's Psalm 119. Now, I need a child in here to tell me the alphabet. Silas, tell me the alphabet. He knows it. He doesn't want to do it. Okay? Let's see. Weston, can you tell me the alphabet? No. What? All right, can we say it together? A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, V, Y, and Z. Thank you. Okay? Forgot the last few. Okay? Now, that's our English alphabet. You know that. We've sung songs to it. All like that. But there's a different alphabet in Psalm 119. It's not the English one. It's different. Let me say it for you. Aleph, Beit, Gimel, Daleth, Hey, Wav, Zion, Het, Tet, Yod, Kaf, Yamth, Mem, Nun, Sem, Ein, Pei, Tzare, Kof, Resh, Sin, Shin, Ta. Huh? What language is that? That's Hebrew. That's the Hebrew alphabet. And it's important in Psalm 119 because if you look at Psalm 119 in your Bibles, turn there if you would, you will see those letters above each section. Okay? And it's important because Psalm 119 is an alphabetical psalm. It goes through every letter in the Hebrew alphabet and has 8 verses per section. Every word, every verse begins with a word that begins with that particular letter. So this morning we're going to be in verses 73 through 80. What is the letter above verse 73? Yod. Okay? So this is the section where every verse begins with Yod. That's why it's such a long chapter. If you have 22, 23 letters of the Hebrew alphabet and 8 verses each, it's going to give you about 176 verses. Okay? But that's what I'd like to look at this particular section this morning. Now, normally when we look at a passage of Scripture, we look at context. Well, that doesn't really apply to Psalm 119 because each section is its own. Okay? It doesn't really relate to the sections before and after. But there is one key truth that goes through the entire chapter, and that is the law of God, or the words of God. Okay? There are several different words of God in Scripture. Alex, go forward about 4. Keep going. One more. One more. Okay. Look at this. Your hands have made and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your, what? Commandments. Those who fear you shall see me and rejoice because I have hoped in your word. Next, please. I know, O Lord, that your rules are righteous and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Let your steadfast love comfort me according to your what? Promise to your servant. Next. Let your mercy come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. Let the insolent be put to shame because they have wronged me with falsehood.
As for me, I will meditate on your precepts. And let those who fear you turn to me that they may know your testimonies. May my heart be blameless in your statutes that I may not be put to shame. I count 8 different ways that the author talks about God's word. And you think, if the author talks about it 8 times, he would want you to remember it, right? If your son misbehaved and you told him to do something 8 times, what would you expect him to do? How many of you wouldn't even get to the 8th time? Okay. Yes. I mean, that's something that we should pay attention to. Okay. So, there's a few different lessons I want to pull from this. We're not going to get through all of them today, but I want to look at the first couple. What is God saying about his word? Commandments, rules, and promises. And the first truth I see here is this. Next, Alex. God made you just as he wanted to and gave you the ability to learn. Look what he says. Your hands have made and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. This is what we just talked about with the young ones here on stage. God created you just as he wanted to. But notice that he also gave you the ability to learn. Now, here's a question. Next, Alex. How did your dad or grandpa get to be so smart? Like, I think Ted is extremely smart. How do you get that way?
Raising Todd.
Raising Todd. There you go. Right? That's it. All right? Their dad and grandpa. Okay? We learn over time. And I think we learn really through 4 different ways. Through books, examples, experience, and failure. Okay? Now, there could be others, but those are the 4 main ones, I think. Okay? They learn through books. Some of them better than others. Okay, but our main book is this one. They learn through Scripture. Okay? They learn by watching and listening to their dads and grandpas. Okay, and friends. They learned by doing. Okay? And they learn by failing. And sometimes that last one's the hardest, but it's often the one we remember the best. Especially when we combine it with Scripture. And here's an important truth. Next, please. Your dads didn't start smart and became smart, and they're getting smarter all the time. Okay? Dads did not start with going, oh, I know how to do everything. No. They learned and they grew. Okay? That's what the psalmist tells us here. They get smart and they're getting smarter all the time. So children, today is Father's Day. One of the things you can thank your dad for is being smart. Okay? He knows how to do stuff. Okay? And that's a reason to thank him. Second lesson. We are grounded in hope. Okay? Verse 74, the psalmist says, those who fear me, who fear you shall see me and rejoice because I have hoped in your word. Do you remember I said dad grew by looking at examples? Now that your dad has learned to be smart by experiencing life according to the Bible, he's an example for others to follow. Okay? The psalmist says that a person who hopes in the Lord is a great example to others who are following Jesus. There are some dads and grandpas that are really good examples to me. And I had an experience with one last Friday. Many of you know we took a vacation to Florida. And we were at the beach with one of Rachel's high school friends. Really, really good friend. And the family is just an amazing family, and I enjoy them all as well. Well, my husband, Josh, and I, we were out in the ocean, and we were just talking. And he switched between jobs in recent years. Now, you got to know something about Josh. He's really smart. When the last shuttle came in for reentry, he directed that. Okay? So, really, really smart guy. Anyway, when his company he was working for fell under, or whatever it was, I don't remember, he had two job choices. One was to work for SpaceX, okay, Elon Musk's company. Okay. Very, very nice salary, and he would have gotten millions and millions of dollars in stock options. Okay. The other company was a company using coal to try to make improvements on batteries. He chose to go the coal route because of this. SpaceX demands you work 60 hours a week. And he said, I want to be home with my teenagers. He turned down millions of dollars. He turned down a lot of clout to be with his kids. And I thought, that's an example his kids are going to remember. Okay? He had the choice. He made one based on his family. And I'll bet he hopes they make the same choice in the future. So not only are dads smart, but dads, because of what they've learned, they become examples to others and examples to their own children. Third lesson comes from verse 75. The psalmist says, I know, O Lord, that your rules are righteous, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. As children, we ask our parents a lot of questions, right? What are some of the questions you asked your parents? Huh? Why? I hate that question. That brings lots of bad memories up. Okay? Yeah. Why? Okay? And finally, what do you end up saying at the end? Because I said so. Okay? But we ask all sorts of questions. Why is this happening? What's going on here? What is that? How does this work? Okay? Or the harder ones, why did this happen? Okay? We go to our parents to make sense of the world when we're younger. Okay? Why would this happen? Mom and Dad know, they tell us, and the world makes more sense. Question is, who tells Mom and Dad? Who tells Mom and Dad how the world works and how it makes sense? Okay. Well, God does in Scripture. Where dads look at dad's parents, it's not just dad, it's parents, look at Scripture and see how God ordered the world, and they take Scripture and they apply it to life. Okay. But sometimes life doesn't make sense. It just doesn't. But parents keep trusting. I know your ways, O God, are right, but why is it happening? Perhaps we could make sense of it. Okay, if someone sinned or if I sinned, you go, okay, that's the reason something bad is happening. But in this case, in the Psalms, the author doesn't tell us sin was involved. It's just, it's a hard time and there's no reason for it. Okay? See, I always thought Mom and Dad knew how everything worked. I mean, they always told me as a kid, so surely they've got life figured out. Well, I didn't realize that they didn't understand everything until I was out of high school. Okay. Only when I was on my own did I realize how many difficult things my parents had to figure out, sometimes when things made very little sense. Why did my grandpa have a series of strokes in South Dakota when he lived near Niagara Falls in Canada and ministry was blooming? Okay. We had to move back, and it led to years of family and extended family difficulties. Ministry was blooming. Why is it that my grandpa had strokes and my mom really wanted to be near her folks, but ministry was blooming here? Why did we have to leave? What caused that? Why all the conflict afterwards? Okay. Why did that happen? I don't think we know. And I don't think we're going to know. Okay. See, it's during difficult times when we hold on to truth, the truth of God by the skin of our teeth. Okay. With our very fingernails, we hold on to those truths. We can't always see why life works out the way it does. but we nevertheless believe that God is faithful and true. Okay. One of the greatest examples parents can set to their children is believing in God when things don't make sense. And trusting and being faithful and continuing to do what's right, even if it doesn't make sense. Okay? And it goes, this will not work. Okay? I'm grateful for parents who have set that example. Some of us have those. Some of us don't. Okay? But holding on, being faithful matters. These are just some of the lessons. We don't have time to go through the rest. But the fact that God created us how he wanted us to be. And he created us with the ability to learn and grow. Okay? It's a wonderful gift from the Lord. Okay? Parents, dads are not inherently smart. They learn. They grow. Okay? It's a reason to give thanks. Okay. We are grounded in hope that even if things don't make sense, we hold on by the skin of our teeth. Okay. That we are good examples. Okay. All of these things are things to rejoice in. And so I give thanks to fathers today who hold these examples for their children. Okay. Who learn, who share wisdom, who are examples, who hold fast to the word of truth, the word of God, no matter the circumstance. Okay? That is going to set a powerful example to your children. Or it has set a powerful example. Okay? Don't underestimate the power of your witness of faithfulness. Okay? Too often we think faithfulness is just a boring life. No. Faithfulness is a powerful life. Okay? Steady, solid faithfulness. I can't think of a greater gift a parent can give a child than an example of what that looks like. An encouragement to do the same. So dads, thank you for setting examples. Okay? For those of you who are first-time parents or new parents, we pray that you will set that example. And we give the Lord thanks. Lord, thank you for your word this morning, and there are some powerful truths in here. And I thank you for dads. Thank you for dads who set examples of faithfulness, of wisdom. Lord, who not only model it, but who share it, who teach it, who have conversations with their kids and their grandkids as they driving in a tractor, working in the trucks, or on machines, or taking walks, or playing soccer, or whatever it is, Lord. I pray that we would communicate this faithfulness by our lives and by our actions and all that we do, so that our children, our grandchildren, our nieces, our nephews can grow up in that atmosphere and absorb it into themselves, that they too will be faithful people, honoring to the Lord. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.